This is CliffCentral.com.
CliffCentral.com.
This song actually reminds me of Mamelodi, man. Pretoria, Jack Buddha. Oh, yes. Oh! The very first time I heard this track, we were at Jack Buddha with a couple of my cousins. They live in Mamelodi. We were there. And it was one of those things that opened up your eyes. Like, this song, for the longest time, became one of my all-time favorites. And it's actually interesting. Like, when you were, depending on where you're introduced to a song, it could tell you whether you like that song or not. Like, I've had a couple of instances where I'll hear a song and I'll think to myself, not that great. And then you go to Spring Fiesta, for instance, and you hear it there. You're like, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Anyway, welcome to it. It is 20-something with Just Another Cool Kid, or Jack for short. As I usually say, if you knew me in person, you'd understand why that is funny. There's a couple of things that have happened in the world around us, and we're going to get into it in a couple of minutes. But first and foremost, welcome. I hope you guys are having a fantastic Friday. As for me, the heat is very welcomed, hey? Like, I feel like this year winter was not as harsh as I'm used to, but it was still here, and therefore it needs to go. Keep in mind, I'm a winter baby. I was born on the 4th of June, but I hate winter. Like, it's the worst thing ever. I would much rather jump into a pool than put on tons and tons and tons of blankets just to try and stay warm. Right, man. So today, there's a couple of things that I would like us to get into. The first thing is, believe it or not, today is Actors Day, actually, first and foremost. If you know of any aspiring actors, or you've got, you know, a special place for your, you know, favorite actors out there in your heart, right? You know, just put a tweet out there letting them know that what they're doing is appreciated. Because when you think about the type of movies that we grew up watching, the type of movies that we watch now, the world would be a sadder place without movies, without actors. Even when you go and watch a theater production, it's so real. Like, the energy is so intense when great actors jump on stage and you walk away feeling like you just experienced something you've never experienced before. Meanwhile, it's just a bunch of people telling you a story. And just for a second, I would like to give it up to all the actors out there, those that want to become actors and those that actually respect the art and, you know, give of their best every single time they're out there. But today is also World Therapist. Physiotherapist Day, sorry, not Therapist Day, I'm sorry. World Physiotherapist Day, and we're going to be celebrating that. I have a couple of physiotherapists in the studio. We're going to be talking to them for the remainder of the hour. And we were sitting outside having a chat, and it is so difficult for us to talk about anything other than physiotherapy. Like, it's almost as if these guys have got nothing else to do with their time besides be physiotherapist. So we're going to get straight into that, actually. I am joined by a couple of very interesting individuals. Trust me, I don't bring random people onto the show. Come on, come on. We are joined today by, I'm going to use your first names, is that okay?
Yes.
We're joined by Lutendo, Gea, and Pra. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
Awesome. Awesome.
Okay, we're going to need a bit more energy than that.
Awesome. Okay. Awesome. Awesome.
Yes. Yes, man. Guys, let's. I want to actually start with the basic, right? Mm. What is physiotherapy? Like, a lot of people might not actually understand the ins and outs of physiotherapy. What is it?
We'll give Lutendo a chance. Oh, he's the most senior here.
Thanks a lot, and thanks to the listeners also on the other side. Physiotherapy, I mean, it's self-explanatory in other ways. We can break the word into two.
Yeah.
Physical and therapy. And the basic aspect is that therapy simply means curing.
Sure.
Whether we are giving you drug therapy or physical therapy or occupational therapy, diet therapy,
yeah,
it's curing using physical means, physical agents.
Yeah.
And we interact with diseases. We interact with just normal people to bring the best out of the human movement. So, in essence, we are the scientists of movement. We want to bring the best out of a person because they have the best possible movement. And what more could one have on Actors Day?
Yeah.
You want the best movement. Yes.
I think I like the way you just, you're scientists of movement. I'm going to turn that into a hashtag. I'll turn that into a hashtag. I actually have never heard anyone explain it that way. What does it take to be a physiotherapist? Is it as straightforward as you going to medical school and then saying, right, from Jump Street, it's physiotherapy?
No, I personally think it's a calling and a profession that comes together, and we were talking about this. More traditionally, I love the way Lutendo spoke about it because it's so philosophical, like philosophy.
Yeah.
But traditionally, it's treatment and management of disease and deformity, and it's through any physiotherapy intervention, which is like manual therapy or electrotherapy or exercise and education. And one of the main focuses of this is to integrate that person back into the life they once had, or to, like you said, optimize the person as an individual physically.
Yeah.
So I personally think it's a calling. It starts with wanting to help people. You know, a lot of people say they had a grandmother who broke a hip, or a uncle who developed Parkinson's, or whatever the case is, and then they watch them go through this horrendous ordeal, and then they saw someone come in and re-educate that movement day after day, give themselves. And that's where the passion starts, with a calling. So I would say that was my start as well. Calling to want to help people optimize their entire being.
Which is what it's all about, really, when you're thinking about the medical profession as a whole, you know, holistically. Mm-hmm. I would imagine this is going to sound like a pun, but I mean, you guys work with patients.
Mm-hmm.
You need a lot of patience.
Yeah. For sure. Most definitely.
Mm-hmm. Because I can imagine, even when you come across, you know, difficult type people, we're not all nice when you meet us, more especially when we're not feeling well.
Yeah.
How do you guys, is that part of your training, how to deal with difficult individuals?
Look, I mean, the first year of physiotherapy, the honors degree that we all do, is we do psychology. And we get the basic mental understanding of a human being and how they function and how they think.
Yeah.
But above and beyond that, I think it goes, it's a personal thing.
Yeah.
You have to be patient. I mean, there's no other way of saying it.
Yeah.
I think if I may come in, maybe to start with regard to what do you need to be a physiotherapist? Mm. Obviously, your requirements are not any lesser than what a medical doctor would need.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. And with the current situation where the universities are fewer, you only have 8 universities that offers physiotherapy. Mm. So
in the whole country?
In the whole country.
Eight.
And,
wow.
And in the 8, you would be producing plus minus 13... say SMU,
yes.
you'll be producing 30 in a year in one of these universities. So if we were to calculate overall, you've got 200 and something that is coming out in a particular year.
Yeah.
And that tells you that the spaces are limited in the universities.
Okay.
So when the spaces are limited, the competition to get into the profession will be quite hectic.
For sure.
You will have those who wanted to do medicine and were not accepted also want to compete with you in the particular space. So it becomes very difficult to get into the profession itself.
Yeah.
You need to have actually excelled at the matric level to be able to be accepted. But to the next level now of aspect of patients, I think, like she was saying, that this becomes natural that if you really want to help people, you don't have a business in being impatient. there's no business in being patient.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be there.
There's no payoff in it. Yeah.
And most of the physical therapy activities will take a long time.
Mm.
Remember, you're not only dealing with the outside element that you're seeing. It takes 21 days to re-educate a neural tissue.
Okay.
To learn something new.
For sure.
If I were to teach you to wake up at 6 and you were waking up at 4, you will put an alarm. It will take you a lot of days. But eventually, it becomes an automatic aspect where you wake up, and that physical therapy would work in almost the same way, because you do not only rehabilitate the outside, the structure, which is the bones and the muscles.
Mm.
You are having this modulator, which is the neural system. You have the heart. For us, those are not the important. They are the supporting system of the actual movement system.
For sure.
The most important thing is that there has to be a structure. There has to be a modulator, which is the neural aspect, the biomechanics, and the supporting structure to give us oxygen, give us this and that, nutrients that we need.
Yeah.
So you need patience. You need to understand you're dealing with a complicated system that needs a lot of patience for you to get to the end. Nothing gets done simply in you coming in, I'm giving you one thing and you're done.
Yeah.
You have to repeat it. You have to be educated. And what more better to give somebody something that they can use for their life?
Yeah,
you educate them and they can treat somebody else at home.
Yeah.
They can treat themselves when it comes again, because our habits changes the way that the movement is supposed to be.
Yeah.
And eventually we have to get to that.
With that said then, should the general public be a lot more invested in learning about physiotherapy? With everything else, if I've got a stomachache, it's a sign to my body that something's wrong. You get what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if all of us truly understand the being impaired with your movement. Sometimes it's like, it's just a shoulder. Whatever, I'll leave it alone, you know? Should the general public be a lot more educated and informed about how our bodies are supposed to move?
Yes, I think so. And I think the general public is actually quite knowledgeable about physiotherapy, because I know you, myself, will feel it when we walk into a room. Oh, my physiotherapist. Oh, my knee. Oh, my shoulder.
Okay.
But I don't think people know that you can walk off the streets and come to a physiotherapist, because we are ordained as first-line practitioners.
Okay.
So we don't need a referral from a doctor to treat. So if you do feel like you have a musculoskeletal problem, if you're not feeling well, if you're constantly struggling with pain, you come to us. We do a thorough assessment. We investigate. We use clinical reasoning. We understand the body. Like Lutenda says, our training is very similar in all the medical profession, especially being a first-line practitioner. It's our duty to acknowledge red flags, to acknowledge yellow flags, to know what we can treat and know when to refer.
Okay.
Just like every other profession. But I think it's also very important to understand the different types of therapy out there and know when to go and who to go to as well.
For sure.
I think... I actually
have to make... This is so cute, man. Like, I always find it so funny when people that aren't used to being on such a platform... Like, whenever we have musicians in here... I'll ask a question. Wait, let me answer first. You guys are giving each other hand signals. Okay, you go. You can talk. It's so cool.
I guess it helps to have seniors.
Because
at times also you want to give the others a chance.
For sure.
And you do not learn out of talking a lot. You know, you also have to give others a chance.
Yeah.
While, I mean, we probably are many generations apart from the time of qualifications between myself and them. And I always appreciate that aspect, because the idea is there's also an aspect of leadership for myself.
Yeah.
I'm a PASA chairperson, an organization that leads physiotherapy.
Mm.
So I cannot come here and want to boss
everything.
The people have to talk.
For sure.
And when they have spoken, where there's need for addition, we'll add. Where there's, you know. But to come back to your question, do people need education? I think that there's an important aspect that while people know, I think there's misinformation a bit somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Because they will come in and say, oh, my knee, can you massage it? But that's the problem. I do not come in. When you're coming in, I'm not looking at your knee and say, you're feeling pain, I want to massage it. I'm saying, what happened? I'm an engineer of movement.
Okay.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What happened to this human movement that could have affected the knee? Could all be the shoulder that started there, the scapula that started there.
Mm.
So if I go and treat the knee and the pain only, then the problem will be that it will come back and you'll come back to me.
Sure.
You then start having things called chronic pains and, you know, acute pains. Mm. Because I've been seeing this doctor or physical therapist or whoever so many times that they haven't helped me to fully get it out of the way. They've dealt with the symptoms.
Mm. Yeah.
So in this situation, you want to educate people to have an understanding that when you come in, tell me your story, I will assess you, I'll listen to you. That it's a principle. Listen, look, and then feel and move.
Mm.
That's physiotherapy. So yeah. I'll listen to your story and understand where could it have started and confirm it with me feeling what is actually happening and use movement to correct if it only needed movement. But if there's a structural changes, the bone is broken, physiotherapy is not going to do anything.
For sure.
I'll then say, oh, no. Here, I think you need to start at an orthopod and come back to the physiotherapist. You don't have a choice.
Yeah,
you will come back again.
Yeah.
And we will then do the patient stuff.
Yeah.
Start slowly, get here, and eventually get to a point where we get you moving again. And somebody would not know that in actual fact you had a problem.
Yeah.
If there was no structural change.
For sure.
But if there's a structural change, you will still move, but you will know that I was hurt, my bone is shorter than what it was.
Yeah.
But now I'm able to walk again, even if the bone was broken.
Yeah.
So I think that's the important thing, that the people need to be educated. You don't only need to go to a physiotherapist because you have a pain.
Mm. Mm.
You need to regularly check yourself. The imbalance, the walk that both of you have in the township, Chips, Mamelodi, you know, wherever where we show in Rakin Train.
Yeah,
but eventually there's that problem that when you're doing that, you're all of a sudden like a car that is using more one side, eventually the tire bursts.
Yeah.
Because the alignment was poor.
Yeah.
And physiotherapist will align you as easy as that.
Just like that.
Just like that.
All right. Listen, if you want to be a part of the conversation, you can send us your tweets at @Jack_5'4" at @CliffCentralCom. You can also do the old school thing, man. 0861-555-189. Or send us your messages on WhatsApp. That's 0797482090. I'm hanging out with physiotherapists today.
Yeah.
It's World Physiotherapist Day, and in our little way to show our appreciation, I think it's cool that you guys came through and you know, opening up our eyes to certain things. Like, there were a lot of things that I didn't know before I met you guys, and now I feel like I'm learning more and more and more. And I think the number one thing that should be on the top of everyone's list is quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that you guys assist with. And it, considering how important it is, I think a lot more people need to know more about what it means to be a physiotherapist and what it entails, essentially. Mm-hmm. Let's walk through the process of... Mm-hmm. I'm out of matric, just matriculated, and... maybe my dad is a physiotherapist and I think, yes, this is it. What do I do? Where do I go?
Okay, you first need to research.
Uh-huh.
And make sure that you know what a physiotherapist is and what they do.
Yeah.
Because when you get out there into the world, you'll find things that you didn't know that you'll be involved in.
Mm-hmm.
Things that you'll be expected to do. So I think the first thing to do is to Google what is a physiotherapist, know what they will do, and know what your hands will have to be doing for, I don't know, the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So immediately after matric, if your results are intact, you should go to a university that offers physio Like Lucinda said, it's not all universities that offer physiotherapy.
Yeah.
Then from the process, from after getting to that step, then you apply and wait, obviously, for them to respond. And then, yeah, get into the system and you'll start your first year, I think, with 8 subjects. If I remember correctly, I should know this because I just... yeah, so we do physics, chemistry, psychology, sociology.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just physio knowing about moving a leg or an arm. So there's a whole lot of things involved to it.
I think just to add on, I think most of the universities require physics and biology as a entry level and maths. I'm not sure about how relevant maths is anymore, but
it is.
Yeah. Okay, educated.
It's scary that we live in a country where you are not sure if maths is relevant.
I had it, so I didn't have to really think twice.
This is a bit of a segue, but I mean. Them trying to drop the pass rate again and whatnot. For me personally, I've always wondered why they don't motivate us by raising the bar instead of dropping it.
Yes.
Like, now I just need 40. I'll just, yeah, give me 40. I'll be fine.
No, you won't be a physiotherapist with 40.
You know, but I feel like the message it sends to kids is so wrong.
It is.
So wrong. Anyway, sorry, you were saying. Yes. My bad.
Kids out there, you need physics, bio, or life science, as it's called now, and mathematics. You also apply to the university. Some universities
have English.
Standard for everywhere. Some universities do a formal interview, some don't. They take you just on credentials, and it's a 4-year honors degree. So plan to spend, and it's full time, you can't do physiotherapy part time. So plan to spend the next 4 years of your lives in and out of hospitals, not because you're sick, but because you'll be working in it.
Yeah.
In the first year, generally a basic BSc. With add-on subjects, physiotherapy. So if at for any reason you do feel like this is not the right fit, a lot of people, once they start working in the hospitals one-on-one with patients, then they realize, maybe not. And that's totally okay, because you don't want to be stuck in a profession that you hate. Not that physiotherapy will be something you hate. And it's 4 years of honors degree. So at the end, you have more than just a degree. You have an honors degree, and you go straight out into community service. That's where Kia is. So your first year of work is guaranteed. We skip internship because there is no internship program. It's incorporated in our study. So in our fourth year, you can expect to work Monday to Thursday, a full day, if not Monday to Friday. Different universities have different systems, but the general is it's either 4 to 5 days and you work a full day. Maybe on a Friday you get an afternoon off to do research, because like I said, it's an honors. In third year you work maybe sometimes at some universities a full day, some universities a half day. And in second year you do maybe a little bit more, but like a small amount just to expose you.
Yeah.
So if you know, you see the glamorous side of physiotherapy on the side of the sports field.
Okay.
It's not going to always be that way.
Yeah.
From the get-go, definitely.
But I think that's the interesting thing is that it gets broadened up. While she's talking about sports medicine, there are different areas. You may like, when you're studying, you don't have a choice. You will have to do everything.
Yeah. For sure.
But I would say, for example, you can be interested in orthopedics only. And when you're out in a practice or in a hospital, you end up, you know, in that situation where your main focus is to see people whose bones were broken. Getting up and walking again. You can be interested in neuro, which your stroke patients, your motor neuron disease, your those people will come there and you will have to deal with those only, and the spinal injuries. You can also deal only with that. So and you need to have a heart, like she said, because I remember it's a long time ago. One of my classmates, we went to an ICU, and literally they fainted.
Yeah,
because they were starting to see a person for the first time in ICU, and I'm sure they didn't think they will be doing that.
For sure.
Because they saw somebody running in the field, somebody doing that in a hospital. You every time go, you see an outpatient department, there's a physiotherapist, same physiotherapist. And there are those that goes to intensive care, where you will see people attached all over to lines and so on. And you ask yourself, what is a physiotherapist doing there?
Yes.
That's one person that after people have done whatever that they are doing, to get the patient out of that bed in ICU, you need an excellent physiotherapist who understands how the lungs functions, who understand how the heart is functioning, and how do all these things get affected by just standing up straight to a point where we can go back to the same bed. So if you don't understand it, you would end up going back. But if you do understand, you realize, you know, I got a physiotherapist, excellent. He got me out of a deathbed. You know, literally,
for sure,
out of a deathbed.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, wow. And so that's what a physiotherapist does.
Yeah, man. I remember, so now that you say that, there was a soccer player I used to watch. I think he was one of the most gifted players we had in this country. Dylan Shepherd was his name, or is his name.
Yeah.
I remember he broke his leg. In fact, the leg that he used the most,
his left leg. Yeah.
During a game, and from when I was watching the game, I thought to myself, "This guy's coming back. It's done." Okay. Yeah. Your leg does not break like that. The shin bone broke. And I was like, this guy's not coming back. A couple of months later, he was there on the pitch, almost playing better than he did before. And I believe my mom pointed it out to me that's what physiotherapists do. That's how you bounce back from what would look like a horrific accident. And you are right back to being normal as if nothing ever happened.
Yeah.
I think it's one element. You would find it difficult to separate the work the physio done with the work that the orthopedic surgeon do. It's a hand and a glove aspect.
Yeah. For sure.
An orthopod can do an excellent op. Without physio, the man will remain on the ground. And you can say, no, you should teach yourself to walk. And it's never the same. You need an expert who would say as much as you, and who would reassure you. Because what you say, your mom said, the problem is that at some point, even himself, he might have believed it.
Yeah.
Because we saw it on TV. It exposed your energy, your age, though.
We
saw it on TV. And the
name of the show is 20-something.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's okay.
Yeah. So the literally, he broke. He was so broken that... And I think it's two players or three like that. One, it was in England, which is Jack Wilshere.
Yeah.
They had the same injuries where it's totally broken. And you think, gone, career. This is an excellent player. Career finished. Mm. But he comes back. But for him to come back, it needed an excellent physio and rehab program that would get him to learn to walk again, deal with his mind that I can still use the same leg with the rods inside.
Yeah.
Because something was put inside to get it,
to stick.
And it's one of the most difficult injuries to recover from, even when you're not a sports player.
For sure.
So imagine for a sports person.
Yeah.
You needed a physiotherapist.
Yeah.
And I mean, thank God we are talking about him. He played 3, 4, 5 years
more
after
that. For sure. For sure. You wanted to say something?
Yeah, I just want to touch on this because, in fact, when you asked us what is physiotherapy, I wanted to say, what is it not? Because the areas and aspects of physiotherapy are so broad. I mean, if there's a muscle, if there's a nerve injury, if there's something, if we can't retrain it, then you need a second opinion, or there's something wrong with all the physios you're going to. The different areas and aspects of physiotherapy, we're talking a lot about orthopedics because it's the main one of the big ones. But there are a lot of smaller little areas, niche areas. And Lutendo was speaking about intensive care. That is one of my biggest passions, because I always say, if you're not dying, don't come to me.
Okay.
You know, we can't say that we don't specialize as physiotherapists, because we feel like maybe it's closing us off to a certain area too much. All of our skills are embossed, but we take special interests here and there. So we talking about orthopedics, that's bones, muscles, joints, ligaments, etc. Then we're talking both pediatrics and adults, because we treat both kids. And we treat both adults, and in kids we treat like really small kids, just born or preterm individuals.
Mm-hmm.
We treat little toddlers all the way up to 12 years old, and then we treat our normal adults. So we look at orthopedics in both areas, adults and peds. We're looking at neuro conditions, so neurology. We're talking about spinal cord injuries, anything from a stroke, which is one of the more common things.
Cerebral palsy, which is very common. Mm. Yes.
Then we're talking about sport, which is the fancy people on the side of the field here at the action. We're talking about women's health and men's health, retraining of muscles, pelvic floor education. I mean, you pop out a baby, you don't know what to do with all those flabby muscles that are not working the same again.
And importantly, just to interject with that very particular aspect, which people don't know much, when post-pregnancy, you have incontinence problem.
Mm.
You don't know what to do. You're thinking, what have I done?
Yeah.
My bladder has prolapsed.
Mm.
How am I going to deal with this?
Mm.
But what she's saying, it's exactly, it's something that somebody would be sitting not knowing where to go.
Yeah.
The doctor doesn't have an idea also, because you do experience that problem, that you would go to a doctor believing that they would know everything. But sometimes at that point, they would not know how to help you.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
And until somebody says,
we're not perfect.
Yeah. You know, that is what I'm saying. So we need to be so networked that somebody will be able to say, when you have this problem, I think let's refer you to this person. Let's refer. Because even as a physiotherapist, I deal mostly with sports and orthopedics. So I would literally look for somebody that I know who is a physiotherapist and say, go to that physiotherapist.
Mm.
They would deal with that particular aspect.
And also just to mention with antenatal care, so women who are pregnant, most of them suffer from back pain, swollen legs, tingling sensations. So they have carpal tunnel syndrome, and they don't know that they can be referred to a physio to get exercises on how to move their arm. So we also deal with women that are pregnant literally from 2 weeks or 1 week or first day to 42 weeks, 39 weeks. So
that's pretty hectic.
And wait for it.
I had no idea.
There's more that's coming.
Okay.
So we're talking about, like I said, if there's, what is physiotherapy not? Because it's maybe a smaller portion as to explain what is really physiotherapy. We're talking about cardiorespiratory systems. So we're talking about our intensive care unit. So patients that are on life support, patients that have undergone a procedure or in life-threatening situation, and they are there now still. We talk about immobilized, they're not moving. So we go in, we help them breathe better, we retrain respiratory muscles. I constantly tell my patients, who would have thought breathing will be difficult for you one day? But that's what I'm here for. I'm here to help you. And we're looking at that at both pediatric level and adult level. And then lastly, we also deal with burns in dermatology. That's another big aspect. And here's the big shocker. There's also animal physiotherapy. Yes.
Really?
Yep. Yes. There's physiotherapy. So it's
and I
limited.
Just got puppies, so I'll make sure that they're okay.
And if you think that's a shocker, this aspect of physio which treats skin condition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Physio that just treats
dermatology.
Skin. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
no, when you say it like that, I mean, I know. You know, I felt like an idiot for a second. Like, wait, physiotherapy for just the skin?
Yeah, it's skin condition, whether it's psoriasis, whether it's vitiligo, and just...
Thank you for mentioning vitiligo.
People,
I'm a Michael Jackson fan, and they don't think it's real. It's real. People, it's so real.
It's so real. Yeah.
So those conditions... It's things, I think it's very rare here in South Africa.
Mm.
I think SMU was one of the hospital, only hospital which has the machine
and
for which had the machines for these dermatological conditions,
yeah,
where the departments will refer. You'll see queues and queues of people.
Coming. You know, this whole time when you guys have been talking, in my mind, I've been trying to figure out what you guys looked like the first time you had to deal with a patient. Please, if we can, like, humor me for a second. Please tell me those stories. Like, what happened when they said, "All right, Kia, here's your patient." What went through your mind?
We'll give Nintendo some time because he has to think back. Like, wait, like Sophia's back. Hey, I can go first because it's fresh.
We've got Wi-Fi. You can Google it. You can't remember.
Oh wow. Sure. This was in second year.
Okay.
We started in second year.
Yeah.
So I was still, we're still fresh. We were still just learning the body and what is where, which muscle is connected from where to where.
Yeah.
But the first time I treated a patient, I honestly can't remember.
Okay.
But I know the first few times.
All right.
I was scared because I was like, oh my word, if I close this curtain, because we have to close the curtain
for
privacy reasons.
For sure.
What if this person dies? They're going to get me.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, oh no, I need someone. And I think for the first few weeks, that's why it's so important when you're going to varsity and you start training into the hospitals, you don't treat a patient on your own.
For sure.
So you're in groups and you help each other and you remind each other, okay, hopala, this is where and that is there. But it was scary. I just know it was scary. It was scary.
Yeah.
Mine's is a little bit more touchy to my heart. I graduated from UKZN and I love my experience there. And one thing I remember so fondly is you are a physiotherapist, but first and foremost, you're a human. So if you can't do anything, don't do harm.
Yeah.
So the first time was also in second year, and the lady had just had her leg amputated. So she was very emotional and she was Zulu. And we hadn't learned Zulu at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember sitting there with this lady and, you know, I'm trying with my bits and pieces of, we were just talking about Fanagolo, like, you know, put our words together. And at some point I gave up. I just held her hand and I was like, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And she held my hand and she said, in her little bits and pieces, it's all going to be okay too.
Yeah.
So, you know, from there, I helped her sit on the side of the bed and I looked at her leg. And, you know, that's when you realize you actually don't need a language in physiotherapy. Mm. You just need movement yourself. You show her what needs to be done. You get her up onto the crutches and you start their life over again. But it's very emotional. And that's when I realized this is what I want to be doing for the rest of my life. Not there by the soccer field, but like here with these people who are so besotted with grief because they lose a piece of themselves. But you help remind them that that doesn't need to define them.
For sure.
You know?
For sure.
Yeah, so it's a little bit more touchy for me.
Yeah, I actually like those touchy stories, man. It sometimes I feel like we have become so desensitized as a society that even when things that are truly horrific happen, we just turn a blind eye to that. Mm-hmm. And when you hear such stories, like it's almost a reconfirmation that we are actually human beings, man. Mm. We show compassion. We show a certain level of humanity and respect for human life. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we need to hear a lot more of those stories.
Yeah
I'm a softie. It's fine. It's okay. Did Google help you out?
I think it did.
Okay. All right.
I mean, bear in mind, that was in 1998.
Oh, wow.
That's a long time.
Long
in,
time.
In my second year, too.
Mm-hmm.
And of interest, I mean, I can tell you, the heart rate was not at the same level.
For sure.
As it is now.
Yeah.
It's the first time talking on radio.
Yeah.
Seriously. But the heart rate was not at the same level.
Mm.
It beat so fast.
Yeah.
Because you want to help, but you have the fear of doing wrong.
Yeah.
And there's no one. You are students.
Mm.
But being a boy, I mean, obviously you want to come with confidence.
Yeah.
And show that you know you've got this.
You've got this.
So you find an older person, it even more comforting.
Mm.
Because she's got so hung on that.
Yeah.
So she can see that there's a little bit of, you know, anxiety here. But I want help. And no, you're not the first. I've seen many students coming here, pushing me around. So this is what they were doing.
Okay.
And eventually, it then said, calm down, you know. And I think the moment of seeing her standing up and being able to walk on the bone that was totally replaced, it was like, huh? So it's possible.
Yes.
Are you not, is she not in pain?
Yeah.
Because you get goosebumps.
That's when the dream becomes reality.
Because you're feeling she probably is in so much pain as if it's you feeling the pain. And reality strikes when she says, no, there isn't much pain. I'm able to tolerate it.
Yeah.
And then we will walk the distance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you we got will it. Walk. We'll walk it out of here. Okay, it's fine.
Yeah, so that, I think, gave me so much confidence. And from that moment, I said, no, I'm not doing anything else. There are the things I don't know.
Yeah.
Orthopedics. You stand up and walk. So I need to focus on this particular aspect. And eventually, I mean, I was a soccer player myself. So
You look like a defender. I don't know why.
A solid striker.
Okay. Okay, I'm wrong. Usually but I'm right
with a versatile player who could play as a goalkeeper, who could play. But when I was at university, it was mostly as a striker.
Yeah.
But the of interest was that I did get an injury myself in 1999. Bone was broken, and now they had to put in a POP. But now I had an idea.
Oh.
I had an understanding. Knowledge gives you some confidence. And I had some friends of mine, Tiro, there's another boy called Tiro Roy, he's a doctor, he's an orthopod now. No, we sit and say, our team is not Rashota. We need to get rid of this POP. We know how to remove it.
Right.
Put water and removed it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I was not
healed. Yeah.
Shoof. Shoof.
Hey.
You go around each other saying, man, you don't just be stand in the field. When the other one comes, you'll go out. Skull beats up all.
Yeah.
Then you keep, I mean, you're a soccer player.
You are going to.
Comes and trap it, then you're injured again.
Ah.
And you go out and you realize, and you learn from there how you can treat other people. Because your own experiences makes it so important for you to have an understanding that I remember what I did wrong.
Yeah.
And I don't want my patients to go through the same thing.
Yeah.
And you, unfortunately, there's a teaching that says don't be emotionally attached to patients. It's such a difficult thing.
Yeah. I can imagine.
It's such a difficult thing.
Imagine.
Because you are a being to start with.
Yes.
So you have to fight this particular aspect. For physios, even worse. Because you stay with patients for quite some time.
And we are hands-on.
So
the connection is real.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, the person has been feeling pain. You felt the pain yourself. They started walking. You enjoyed the happiness. Like, it was your happiness as much as theirs.
Yeah.
So this becomes a difficult thing to be able to do and say, I'll totally separate these people. And even when you do something, I mean, I remember we had a situation, a case where a patient has been told, you're not going to walk.
Yeah.
You've got a T12 spinal injury and nothing is going to happen. When you start getting the slightest movement in the legs, you start celebrating. It seems like we are onto something here. And the patient started walking, and that was the most amazing thing. And you think about that and think, no, I for sure I didn't choose this. God chose me to do this particular aspect.
For sure.
Because sometimes it just shocks you.
I was telling a friend of mine, I was like, you know, my belief in God is a little bit different from, you know, what we've been taught growing up and whatnot. I honestly believe in the moments whereby you're not thinking or processing anymore and everything happens the way it's supposed to, that's when you actually see God. You know, I don't think he's waiting for us to lie or steal or do all of these so-called things that we were told not to do. I feel like in those brief, quiet moments where there's literally nothing else that matters except for what is in front of you, I think that's when you actually see God in his entirety, you know what I mean? The true power that actually surrounds us, you know? I hate the fact that this hour just
it's
ran by.
Time.
I'm looking at this. I actually want us to get into some of the challenges you guys face as physiotherapists. I always say this, if you're going to try find out what's wrong with something, talk to the people that are doing that something. What are some of the challenges that you face as physiotherapists?
Well, Kia and I work at Dr. George Mukhari Academic Hospital. It's in the north of Pretoria. It is a government public hospital. And I guarantee you that in government, there are their fair share of challenges. But the types of conditions you see, the connections you make, and the work you get there is unlike anything else. I mean, we sit in the heart of Kharankua, and the people that come to you, they're just always so grateful for everything you can do to them. I think one of the misconceptions or irritating part of being a physiotherapist is understanding that everybody asks you for a massage. Physiotherapy is not massage. Don't mistake our palpation or trying to find what the problem is.
Go to sorbet or
something. Yes, go to sorbet, guys.
Come on.
But, yes, therapeutic massage is a big part of physiotherapy, but it isn't physiotherapy itself.
In its entirety, yeah.
And I always hate that comment, but you're so tiny, you're going to lift me? And I'm like, yeah, game on. I'm going to lift you. I'm going to put you in this chair and you're going to be like, wow.
Yeah.
So I think one of the challenges is being a female. Everybody underestimates you, but we learn a particular skill on how to lift, how to manage the body, how to retrain the body. So don't underestimate that, and don't ask us for a massage with a happy ending, because that's not what we are here for. Kia, you can carry on.
I think the biggest challenge that I'm facing since I've started this whole journey of being a physio is being mistaken to be an occupational therapist or biokinetics. Biokineticist.
Yeah.
So we do almost the same thing, but a biokineticist, they mainly focus on exercise. So they are exercise gurus, like they know everything about exercise. Occupational therapists, they look at more of activities of daily living, so integrating a patient into what they would normally do at home.
Okay.
Physiotherapist is a combination of both. Okay, so we prescribe exercises for the patient, and we integrate them into their home, their community, and work. So I think that's been my frustration so far.
All right.
Wow.
Very controversial too. We don't have enough time for that.
You know what? I wish I knew what was going on, because you just hit a nerve somewhere.
Yeah, we did.
You hit a nerve.
I guess my problems or challenges would be a little bit more. For one reason, like I indicated, I'm an organization leader who, when you look into it, the profession itself, there are very few that are blacks.
Okay.
You have a population of 55 odd.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that of the 55 million, 40 million is served by 1,002 or less.
Oh, wow.
While the smaller section, which is a 5 million or so, gets served by over 4,000 of them. It is the production of the physiotherapist. I would want to see more, a production of more physiotherapists by universities.
There you go.
I want to see the growth of these universities when they say they have grown. Not producing. When I left, they were producing 20 something. You can't be producing 30 still 20 years later. That's a serious problem. Beyond that, I guess those who are working, I work in private practice, but those who are working in private practice, in public sector, they are seen as by the way. They are not well looked after with regard to salaries. I can simply say that they are not well looked after. And that's one of my struggles now.
Thank you, Lukendo.
As much as I'm in private practice, that's what I'm fighting for.
For sure.
To say they should be looked after. For one basic reason, people might not be understanding the economic impact of this. But if we go back and try and have as many of these people who will educate our people in how some of the diseases are not disease. It's starting as a progressive problem of musculoskeletal system, and it ends up as a disease. And you get affected. You become obese because you're not being active. But you don't just become active. If you are active and in a wrong way, and I'm saying active in a wrong way, if you go to gym, get a physical trainer, he's not an expert in movement. So there are so many injuries that comes out of that. So people need to appreciate that you need to do the exercises, but with the right person, the right person prescribing them, right movement being done. Because even some of the physiotherapists would have the challenges themselves in realizing that their own movement is wrong. So
because apparently doctors make for terrible patients.
So to me, that's a challenge. Then the other challenge will be the lack of referrals by other professionals. In a public sector, they get referrals, a lot of referrals, because people don't want to see the same person for a very long time, except if you are a physiotherapist. You will see them until they are. But it's quite frustrating to see Jack every time coming, my back. My back. No, I've seen you 10 times, I've given you, go to a physiotherapist. That's a discharge way. I've seen you, I don't follow up. So this system needs to be re-looked at. My view is that the health system needs a restructuring to make sure that if you're going to go with NHI, which is its pillars are the very aspect that you need to have your other aspect of medicine before you get sick. You need to be educated. And you need to be educated by the right people. We need physios at school, not the disabled school, but at the real schools, educating. Because a teacher doing exercise will give you 10,000 push-ups. And you'll get hurt.
For sure. You know what? I feel like we need to come back.
We need to come back.
Come back and do it again. But before you leave, this is for World Physiotherapist Day. All right, just like that, guys, I can't thank you enough for coming through.
Thank you so much
for being here. It's been fantastic. I don't know what else to say, actually. I feel like we could have gone on for tons and tons of hours, but you know, we have to follow the laws. So thank you guys for coming through. But just like that, man, 20 something is out of here, and I think the best song to play right now is Your Body. Look after
Your body.
This is CliffCentral.com.